Chapter 83. Dalinar 10. Though Elikar was gone, his parting gift to Alethkar was the crack in the ground he had placed between the Aleth forces and their pursuers, and that move translated to a 2-day lead on the Vadens. It was amazing how much difference that made. The threat of destruction still loomed behind, of course. However, the mixture of an enemy made unseen and a slackened pace caused a remarkable change in Dalinar's army. Or perhaps it was the company. Dalinar stood watching the so-called Herald, leading his men in daily spear training. The man was an impressive fighter and an equally capable instructor. There was something about him that commanded attention. He bore a natural charisma of optimistic leadership that Dalinar found himself envying. A rustling of silk announced Jasnah's arrival. The woman stepped up beside Dalinar, arriving at the appointed time. The day was a warm one, still a little humid from the morning's high storm, but morale was improving despite the wet weather. Talanel, or Taln, as Jasnah called him, had chosen a relatively flat space near the center of camp to do his training. Hundreds of men clogged the area, split into square subgroups, each beneath the tutelage of a Taln-approved leader. The Herald himself moved among the groups, giving examples and training.
"He's good," Dalinar noted, "but I don't know that I like entrusting the training of my men to a madman."
Jasnah smiled faintly.
"I know how you feel, Uncle, but I can promise that Taln is trustworthy. His condition has remarkably little effect on his capabilities."
Dalinar didn't abandon his frown.
"It would help morale greatly if you would endorse him, Uncle," Jasnah noted.
"I will not lie to my men, Jasnah."
"They need something to believe in," she said. "Dalinar, we face terrible odds and our men know it. They need to believe that the Almighty favors them, otherwise they'll think that failure is inevitable."
Dalinar shifted uncomfortably as Jasnah mentioned the Almighty. Her atheism was not a topic the two of them discussed, but if she was determined not to believe, couldn't she at least refrain from using the men's faith as another of her tools? Dalinar shook his head.
"I won't do it, Jasnah. I will not endorse a false herald. I will honor the oaths you gave in my name. I will let him train, I will let him preach. I will even let you prepare Alethkar if we survive this war. I won't lie about my beliefs, however."
Jasnah sighed, turning toward the training.
"It doesn't matter," she finally said. "They'll believe even without your endorsement. The rumors are already circulating. You've noticed an improvement in your men, haven't you? They've heard of the assault on Rel Aram and Taln's fight there. They know that he defeated 1,000 men on his own, and that he led us to a cache of 9 shard blades in the holy city. They want to believe, Uncle. I've come to realize that hope is far more powerful than despair."
Dalinar sighed, but made no response. He knew better than to argue with Jasnah when she used that voice.
"What is the state of the army?" he asked instead.
"Not good," she said. "The men are moderately well-equipped, but many of Elikar's soldiers discarded their armor sometime during your flight. We're running low on sapphires, and the Awakeners are feeling pensive. They seem to think that you don't like them."
"I don't," Dalinar said flatly. "You went and spoke with them?"
"Of course I did," Jasnah said. "They're people, Uncle, just like us."
"Hardly like us. Hardly even people anymore."
He let her continue, however.
"Some of your men are malnourished," she said. "I don't think they've been eating properly these past few weeks. Perhaps they didn't see the point. Anyway, I've ordered the squad captains to maintain strict watch on the men during mealtimes. Every man is required to eat what is given to him. Awakener-made grain may not be the most appetizing of foods, but it will keep a man healthy."
Dalinar nodded his thanks. Jasnah's presence in the army made a subtle yet far-reaching difference. It wasn't that Dalinar or his aides were incompetent. Jasnah and her attendants just provided something special. Her organizational skills and logical mind made her an ideal military strategist and administrator. When Dalinar had offered her control of the daily coordination of the separate armies, she had accepted with as much eagerness as he had ever seen her display. Apparently, she had been relegated to a somewhat perfunctory position in the Herald's army, and if there was one thing Jasnah Kolyn loathed, it was being perfunctory. Ahead, the man Taln paused as a group of soldiers pulled him aside, obviously making some sort of request. Dalinar watched, half-interested, until Taln pulled out his shard blade and handed it to one of the soldiers. He then took the man's spear and waved the soldier to attack him.
"What is that man doing?" Dalinar asked with a frown.
"Hmm?"
Jasnah asked, looking up from the list in her hands.
"Oh, that's one of the soldiers' favorite lessons. He's been teaching them how to defend against a shard blade."
As Dalinar watched, the soldier stepped forward in a controlled, slow motion, and Taln demonstrated knocking the shard blade aside by hitting it on the flat of the blade with the haft of his spear. The two repeated this several times for the onlookers, then the soldier backed up and attacked with an unrestrained blow. Taln pushed the shard blade aside as casually as another man might brush away an offending lock of hair.
"No man can be that good," Dalinar thought uncomfortably. The display must be staged. Shard blades were too dangerous to risk such a sparring match, even in a controlled environment.
Yet the attacker didn't seem to be holding back, and his motions didn't seem to follow any particular pattern. The madman knocked aside every strike. Once the display was finished, the madman jogged over to the side of the practice yard and retrieved a bundle of what appeared to be swords. Dalinar watched with increasing trepidation as Taln handed them out to half of the soldiers in the group, then had the others practice knocking the weapons aside as if they were shard blades.
"He's giving them swords," Dalinar pointed out.
"Yes,"
Jasnah said without looking up from her list.
"He does that sometimes."
"Those men aren't noblemen," Dalinar said.
"He's not letting them carry the weapons or even use them in combat, he just uses them for practice. You can forbid him if you want. He'll do as you ask."
She was probably right. The madman had been admirably cautious about overstepping his authority. However, the Remax soldiers weren't as tactful. They continued to refer to themselves as the Herald's army despite their integration into the Aleth army. They seemed to hold themselves up as some sort of elite force, though they had far less training or experience than Dalinar's regular troops. He worried about his authority in commanding them. Their loyalty seemed to be to the man who had gathered and trained them, not the kingdom that might get them killed.
"Though is it any wonder they respect him so?" Dalinar thought. "If he can turn blades with such ease, perhaps some of the other stories are true as well." "He certainly is an interesting man," Dalinar said.
Jasnah smiled slightly, looking up.
"Yes, Taln is a unique find."
"But," Dalinar cautioned, "we mustn't rely on him too much. Do not forget that his sanity is suspect."
"Oh, trust me, uncle," Jasnah said quietly. "That is one thing I'm not likely to forget."
Dalinar frowned, a thought occurring to him.
Perhaps he isn't mad at all. Have you wondered whether it all is an act? Claiming to be a herald, whether or not it makes him look mad, certainly has gained him a lot of authority in this group."
"His skills and heart gained him the authority," Jasnah said dismissively. "He believes what he says. I've never questioned that."
"Jasnah, not suspicious?" Dalinar thought, eyeing the woman. That in itself was cause enough to be dubious.
"There is another item of business we must consider, uncle," Jasnah said thoughtfully. "Have you decided who to make your partions?"
Dalinar shook his head.
"Echothan will be one," he said. "As for the second, I'm not certain. It almost feels like there isn't anyone left."
War had killed all of Dalinar's close male relatives, the men who should have received the title. That left a number of fourth and fifth lords, any of whom would make fine leaders. Yet a partion was supposed to be more. He was the king's most trusted advisor and friend, a voice and advocate for the throne at all times. Hopefully, whoever Dalinar chose would serve him better than Dalinar himself had served his own king.
"I have a request then, uncle," Jasnah said. "Please consider letting my husband retain the rank."
Dalinar started. "Meridos?" he asked with surprise. "That man is..." He trailed off. Meridos was Jasnah's husband now. Though she had not spoken of the event, Dalinar had gathered the facts from other sources. He had assumed that the marriage happened before she escaped Rel Arum, and had been confused to find out about the Kolinar ceremony. However, as he considered, the move made sense, at least for Jasnah. Her political career had always been her most important passion.
"I don't think I can place a man I don't trust as Parshan, Jasnah," Dalinar said bluntly. "Besides, Meridos is a panderer and a fop. A lord must display some measure of competence to serve as Parshan."
"I think he may surprise you, uncle," Jasnah said. "He has me. Meridos isn't quite the man we thought him to be. But that can wait until after Alethkar is safe."
"Let us pray that day comes," Dalinar said quietly.
Jasnah nodded her agreement, frowning slightly.
"What?"
"I just worry about our upcoming accommodations," she said, glancing westward.
"You think we should have turned toward Kolinar instead?" Dalinar asked.
It had been an option. 5 days ago, when King Avon's army had been trapped across the rift, the Aleth forces could have broken west instead of east. Jasnah paused, then shook her head.
"No, this is the best way. You took everything of value from Kolinar, and I brought most of what you left. The Herald's army drained the Aleth villages of potential soldiers as it crossed the distance between the rift and Kolinar. No, there is nothing left for us in that direction. That doesn't stop me from worrying about Teth Kanar, or rather the man who rules it. I don't particularly care for Intara Teth."
"I've met few men besides wine merchants who do," Dalinar said with a snort. "Though his feasters will claim otherwise."
Jasnah nodded.
"Alethkar faces a very serious threat, and I grow nervous every time Intara is involved in something serious."
"We don't have much choice now," Dalinar said.
Jasnah nodded, and he knew she was already working on ways to manipulate Intara into helping defend his kingdom. For once, Dalinar didn't feel in the least bit sorry for the subject of her plans. After a few moments of silent watching, Dalinar caught sight of a familiar figure making its way through the camp toward him. Paulin wore a standard brown scout's cloak, and he walked with an unhurried step. Of course, that meant little. Paulin was not the type of man to express urgency in his posture or motions. Dalinar caught Jasnah's attention, then nodded toward the beefy soldier.
"My head scout has returned," he said.
Jasnah turned, raising an eyebrow.
"I still don't think that man is properly employed, uncle. How good can he be as a spy? I've seen mountains that were less conspicuous."
"He gets the job done," Dalinar said simply, nodding to Paulin as the man approached and gave a perfunctory bow. "The Vadens are still gaining on us," Paulin said bluntly. "They're a little over a day behind. Once we reach Teth Kanar, we won't have much time to prepare before they're on us."
"Did Kemnar return with you?"
Jasnah asked, frowning slightly at the man's absence. Paulin shook his head.
"He stayed back. Wanted to see if he could catch a glimpse of the old queen or her son."
Dalinar nodded, noting the unmasked disapproval in Paulin's eyes when Kemnar's name was mentioned. Shardbearers were not supposed to be scouts. That duty was reserved for lesser noblemen, men such as Paulin, whose family ties didn't provide enough income to support them. Kemnar was a greater lord now. It wasn't right for him to risk himself by scouting the enemy army. Once this all was over, assuming Alethkar hadn't fallen, Dalinar would have to take Kemnar aside and explain to him the duties that came with the privilege of carrying a blade. He dismissed Paulin, who bowed his head and withdrew. The man hadn't spoken the obvious. Teth-Khanar was still several days' march away. At their current pace, the Vedans could very well catch up before Dalinar's force reached the city. The men wouldn't like it, but Dalinar had no choice but to increase the pace again. He couldn't afford a repeat of their earlier flight with constant harrying and worry. The soldiers were only just beginning to shrug off their depression. He turned to note as much to Jasnah and found that she had been distracted by the madman's training again. She stood, watching Teln correct a young spearman's stance, her face characteristically flat and unreadable. Her eyes, however, there was something in them. A hint of emotion slipped past her walls, and Dalinar found himself studying her curiously. It wasn't often that one caught Jasnah off guard. Dalinar glanced at the madman, then back at Jasnah. It almost seemed like... Dalinar caught himself, then shook his head, chuckling softly to himself. No, he was obviously reading too much into her expression. It was, after all, Jasnah Kolin he was considering.